Don't want any of my Chicago brethren to get upset with me. I loved going to the North Side and watching Cubs games as well. But there was something about going to the South Side, living in the Sloop the way I did for 8 years, and going to White Sox games. Now, they weren't heavily attended, Jensen, when I used to go. They're much more heavily attended now that they're starting to win. Now, on Money Moves, I do believe, it was Robert Murray, and he was on foul territory, rather. He said that the White Sox might be looking for some additions here in this second half before we get to the trade deadline. So let's hear from Robert Murray. This was on foul territory.
As far as the White Sox go, addressing the rotation is a huge priority for them. And from what I'm told, they're casting a very wide net in that search. I've mentioned Reed Detmers as a possible option for them. I think he would be just a tremendous fit in that organization. And he's also controllable. He's somebody who they can build around. They can part with those, with some of those top prospects in order to get him and build around him. And I think that'd be an awesome fit. Clay Holmes, he's drawing a ton of interest. Obviously, he's coming off the injury, so teams got to see exactly what he is going to be coming off that injury, but he's got another rehab outing coming up here in the not so distant future. So teams can get another look at him. But my impression of the White Sox is they are indeed willing to move on from players in their top 10 in the top 10 of their farm system. They're willing to talk about them. So that would, to me, would indicate that those higher end options would be in the realm of possibilities for them. So I think the White Sox, at least as of this point, are definitely a team to watch here in the next week or so.
Interesting comments there from Robert Murray. And when you look at the White Sox right now, Jensen, they're minus $1.30 to make the postseason. You kind of get a two-way shot at that here. Obviously, you could win the division, and you could still get the wild card. So you're laying a price point, but it's not a big one. To Robert's point, do you see them making a significant move and not just minor moves here before we get to that trade deadline?
Yeah, I do. And I think that it's a starting pitcher. It's a reliever. I know that they have been in on the catching side too, just kind of looking to augment at some of those different places. But boy, make no mistake about it. You look at where their offense is right now, way ahead of schedule for what even I think they could have envisioned internally, Dave. And of course, Munetaka Murakami and Miguel Vargas having the years that they have had, a huge reason why they are ahead of schedule. Seventh in home runs in big league baseball this year, Dave. They are ninth in runs scored, and they are top 13 in on base and OPS. They've got enough speed, but again, they're looking to kind of bludgeon you with the bats. And I don't think there's too much to add for them on that front. To that end, I think the starting pitching, it makes a lot of sense here. Is that a Clay Holmes? Is it a Robbie Ray, from San Francisco? Back into the bullpen, Grant Taylor has been their best reliever all year. Sean Newcomb, Brian Hudson have been great. Jordan Hicks here the last week or two has been awesome. Sir Anthony Dominguez, remember, they brought over from Toronto to be their closer at the beginning of the year. He has kind of fluctuated between roles for them, but they are right in the thick of it, Dave. And I think they firmly believe that they have enough in a wide open American League. Should they make the acquisitions that Chris Getz believes they can get, they're going to be one of those teams. The maestro Mike Palm, way back when in May, I think when he made that 25-1 bet on the White Sox to win the Central, just an incredible foreshadowing on his part. But they look the part, Dave. And I think that's the most important thing to remember. They look like they belong right now. This upcoming stretch is pretty critical for them. Again, 4-game set with the Yankees. They dropped the one yesterday. 3 more starting today. 3 in Tampa over the weekend, and then 3 in Fenway. So they are getting a tour of the American League East, and we're going to find out how real they are up against some of the best of the best.
To that end, today, Anthony Kay is going to be going up against Garrett Cole. Low total here on the south side. That's going to be a total of 8 is what I'm seeing right now. Due slightly to the over at $1.14. Do you think run suppression, as good as they've been offensively, that Garrett Cole is the elixir there and can keep this lineup at bay?
I think both lineups will be challenged to score today. I did find an 8.5 at Novig, Dave, for under 8.5 at minus $1.15. Couple of trends to keep in mind here. You mentioned Anthony Kay, 4 straight games where he's allowed 2 runs or fewer. And you also look at the Yankees. They're a road favorite today. To that end, they're 30-16-2 to the under when that scenario presents itself, as it does here tonight. I think we do bounce back. I think the bullpens will be a little bit better. And remember, you are going up statistically against a Yankee staff that is one of the best in all of baseball from an ERA standpoint. They have the number two bullpen ERA in all of baseball. So Gerrit Cole plus that pen, the way they're going right now. Again, I know that the Yankees had to use pretty much everyone yesterday. So you want Gerrit Cole running out there for a decent amount of time. I think he's in a great spot tonight. What a dandy I think we've got on the south side of Chicago later on.
And I know it's, you know, it's still the end of July, but when you see the Nationals yesterday only score two runs in a game that started by Max Scherzer, and you lose 3-2 to the Jays, those are tough ones to stomach at this time of the year when you're trying to make a push for a wild card. Back in the good foot for DC today with the bat suppression yesterday, can they break back out to what we're accustomed to with this lineup?
Yeah, and I'm gonna be ginger here, because Shane Bieber is pitching for, you know, another team right now, if you will. Yes, he's wearing a Blue Jay uniform, but make no mistake, there are plenty of teams that will be there watching to see if he can continue this really good run that he's on. Dave, you look at his last three starts, they have been more vintage Shane Bieber. He has gone 7 innings of 3-hit, 1-run ball, 6 innings of 3-hit, no runs allowed, and then a shorter outing against San Diego, 4 2/3, 6 hits, but only 2 earned runs allowed. So you add all that up, and in his last three starts, it's a .153 ERA. So we're going to go against a little bit of a headwind here, because I do think the Nationals offense, especially the left-handed hitters, will be a bit more attuned to take advantage. You're thinking James Wood, you're thinking CJ Abrams. So I think that's going to be a spot. And also situationally, Nationals are 6-3 covering the run line as a home favorite. That's where we're going to go. We're going to take a half unit on the Nationals, -1.5 on the run line, +$1.44. The Blue Jays, for what it's worth, Dave, have only been averaging a little over 2.5 runs per game in their last 12. So I will take the chance that we get Cade Cavalli, who has been the ace of this national staff, being able to limit what has been an anemic Blue Jay attack. I think this sets up, again, going to be ginger about it, just a half unit play here, knowing you got two good starters on the mound tonight.
Very quickly, a game we talked about now, number one, please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. Listen to that conversation we had with Greg Peterson about the Royals against the Twins. Seth Lugo on the bump here. They're small dogs on the road, +$1.35 for KC. Could this be the last time we see a guy like Seth Lugo in a Royals uniform before we get to some of these trading places here before the deadline?
Potentially. And again, this would be a J.J. Piccolo looking at this Royals team thinking that I don't think they want to deal Michael Wacha, the all-star. Luisander Avila has been a revelation, their young 25-year-old. Yep. And Seth Lugo has been, you know, outside of Wacha, their best starter that's been the healthiest. They will get calls on him. I do think this is a great spot to back the Twins. I want to wait for lineups to see what Derek Shelton will run out there at Target Field. But again, the Twins are going for it. They're going to put their best foot forward, strength on strength at Target Field later on tonight.
Only 9 games out of a wild card, Kansas City. Kidding, people. I'm not thinking in those contexts. I've given up on all my Royals futures. They are dead in the water.